Yep.
Okay, so we're studying end times, and this is important. This is very important because this is faith building. It's faith building in the scriptures, because the scriptures, there's no gray area with the second coming. There was no gray area with the first coming. When Jesus Christ came the first time, he held them accountable. They were to know of his first coming, and surely he's coming back the second time. And like we've said before, I've taught this, and we all agree, I love the cross. I'm thankful for the cross. I'm not looking back to the cross anymore. That cross, that blood has covered me. I am looking forward to the crown. I'm looking forward to the second coming. So we'll start looking at this. Just to review a little bit here, where's the charts? Okay, so there's our chart. So we're looking at these. We studied, first of all, we looked at why it's important to study end times and eschatology, because he's coming back. And there's a whole bunch of different views on it, and they can't all be right. Only one of them can be right, because he's right. So we studied that we are in the last days. We studied last week that the reign of Antichrist, which we're taught we're going to see him, right? The pre-trib, you don't see him. So the next one here are these, the sign and the sun, moon, and the stars, and Revelation, no, the trumpets. I don't think we're going to get to that today. So even though these last days take us even through the reign of Antichrist, but then we start looking for events that are going to happen. And the first one is the sign and the sun, moon, and the stars. And these are the feasts, right? The feasts that are still going to be fulfilled. That's why I want to go to this next one. That these feasts are still going to be fulfilled at the second coming. Because these, you can see them there, Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. We've been through this. They've been fulfilled at the first coming. And we are in Pentecost right now, where the Holy Spirit is being poured out, the early rain, and the latter rain, when it's going to be poured out in the last days. So when the latter rain is finished, the last three feasts will be atoned, the Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles. So if you turn to Exodus 23, we'll just pick it up. We're just going to look at trumpets today. So Exodus 23:10-21. Okay, so just think of this and apply it to, you know, the big picture. So Exodus 23:10, 6 years, 6,000 years, right? 6 years thou shalt sow the land and shalt gather the fruits thereof. But the seventh year, thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave, the beasts of the field shall eat in like manner. Thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. 6 days thou shalt do work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest. Thine ox, thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid, and the stranger may be refreshed. And in all these things I have said unto you, be ye circumspect. Make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. So I do believe that when Christ comes, we are not going to mention other gods anymore.
Even before that,
right?
As the church, yeah, we shouldn't be serving
gods. It's right.
God calls that whoring around.
That's right.
And so, yeah, on the last day, on that time, we won't be doing it. But in this time.
Yep, it'll be fulfilled.
It'll be fulfilled.
But right now, that's got to take place in my life.
Well, if we don't practice it now,
we
won't experience it then.
Exactly. That's like I said about being in fellowship with one another.
Yeah.
I want to be there. I want to be in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Curtis, Amanda, Alan. I want to be in that kingdom. Well, surely then I should want to be with them here in this earth too, right? Okay, so look at verse 14. So here you go. Here's how he breaks it down right here. It's there, right? Three times thou shalt keep the feast me in the year. So the first one, you can see there is Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. That happened the first time. That's the first time. The second one is we meet at Pentecost. We meet in the church, right, at Pentecost. And the last one is the second coming of Jesus Christ when we're all going to be gathered together. So look at 19. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord. Thou shalt, I don't understand, thou shalt not see the kid in its mother's milk. I don't understand that. But what I do understand is the first fruit of the first fruits of thy land was, who was the first to rise from the dead?
Christ.
He is the first fruits that rose from the dead, and where did he go?
Into the
house of the Lord. To the earthly house of the Lord, to the heavenly house of the Lord. So that was fulfilled at Christ's death, burial, and resurrection.
To pick your brain real quick. Christ the first fruits, that's 1 Corinthians?
It's 1 Corinthians, yeah. And he's talking about the resurrection, like Curtis said. 1 Corinthians 15 is talking about that. Whole chapter is talking about not only our resurrection, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he called him the first fruits, and those that are his after his coming, so that he's going to reap that harvest. We're the first fruits of the harvest. What does the Bible say? Blessed, how's it go? The dead.
Blessed are those who have part in the first resurrection.
Yeah.
The second death.
Yeah.
Have no power.
The
over
second death. Does it say the second resurrection?
Right.
There's a first resurrection, the first fruits, the saints, and there's a second part of that, not saints. Okay, so Leviticus 23:25. And I know I think we've looked at these like 3 years ago, but it just kind of, you know, go through them again. Leviticus 23-25. You don't have to turn there if you want to. You can. It's right here. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month. So these are similitudes, typology, right? Because what were we just told? 6 days thou shalt. So think of this, 6 months, 6,000 years. So in the seventh month, the 7,000th year, the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath. So here's the key. There's a memorial of blowing of trumpets, plural. And a holy convocation. And ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire. Mm-hmm. By fire unto the Lord. So a holy convocation is a remembrance. The definition is a remembrance, an assembly by calling. And if you want to look at fire, we know there's a fire coming. Let's just put it that way. The verses are there if you want the notes. I couldn't print this out, Deb. I ran out of ink. So this, I think you've got it.
Yeah.
Well, I ran out of ink, so I couldn't make copies of it. So,
well, I sent it to everybody already.
Okay. Yeah.
John the Baptizer said that there's one coming after me that I baptize you with water.
Yeah.
There's one coming after me that will baptize you with
the Holy Spirit, and
fire.
And I say it again. I don't understand this, but
right.
The Holy Spirit is fire. He is a person, but he is fire.
He's a
too.
Burning fire,
so
all-consuming.
It's right. It's right. He's a consuming. Our Lord is a consuming fire. And like I said before, when you read Revelation 2 and 3, and you see candlesticks, which we are,
mm-hmm.
we're candlesticks, and he's calling those the churches, which we are individually, right? But those candlesticks need to be lit.
Lit, yeah.
They need the fire on them, just like in the book of Acts, chapter 2, there was a fire of cloven tongues that came on them. So that lighting of that candlestick is the Holy Spirit. Think of the 10 virgins.
Yeah.
5 had oil, their candles were not lit,
right.
And 5 did.
Matthew 6, salt and light.
Right,
you,
right.
You are the light. Right, your candlestick. You don't light a candle and put it under a bushel, or hide it.
That's right.
You let your
it's
light
to be
shine,
lit.
That the world can see your good works and glorify the God that you serve.
That's exactly it. It's to be lit. A candle. It's good for nothing.
Yeah.
It's right, but yet, so a candlestick or a candle represents something.
Yeah.
It represents somebody who is identifying with the Savior. But if it's not lit...
I would almost agree completely with that, except the candlestick represents the human
right.
in its form. It isn't part of Christ until it's lit.
Right. Well, to me, when you look at the parable of the 10 virgins,
right.
I think they all claim to be...
Right.
On,
but only five of
right.
them were right.
Yeah.
Five of them were real.
Yeah.
Five of them were fake.
Right. Right.
You know, yeah. So only the ones who had the light, who had the fire,
right.
the oil.
But they were both groups of people were mm-hmm. looking for the bridegroom.
Yes, yep.
Right? So well, to me, some of them identified,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't have the Holy Spirit on
them. They were identifying in their flesh,
right.
but they weren't identifying in their spirit.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
had no oil. They
yeah,
had no spirit.
I agree. So to me, you look at these, if you want, you could look at 1 Peter 1:7. Let's just look at Let's go ahead and go there. And then keep your finger in Leviticus 25. So we're told, like Curtis said, we're told that the Holy Spirit, I have not been baptized with fire.
No.
You've been baptized. You've been the Holy
oh, yeah.
Spirit come on
yeah.
you.
Oh, yes.
But
absolutely.
That baptism of the Holy Fire has not come on us yet. So if you look at 1 Peter 1, 7. Amanda? Wait a minute. I'm going to have you read a little bit. 1:7, pick it up 6-12.
6-12. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what, or the manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you that the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into.
These are fantastic verses,
mm-hmm.
man. And first of all, the people that tell you, well, the Old Testament people, the Holy Spirit didn't come in them. It came on them. It says right there, it was in them.
Right.
Right? So it's the same Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I do think that the Holy Spirit in the Old and New comes on people and then into people
mm-hmm.
in both Testaments. Because he's the same God. He changes not. Second of all, my faith has not been tried by fire yet. Even though I have been tried with temptations, right? It has not been tried by the fire. And I'll show you again in 1 Peter 4. It's right here on the screen. But there's so much going on here. Look at verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible.
Mm-hmm.
Everything here he's talking about is talking about the last day. The second coming of Christ, right? And I'm told that on that day, you know, Curtis, like you quoted that verse, there's one coming to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So at a couple of Gospels, he stops right there.
Right.
I can't remember which Gospel it is, but he adds and fire.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you do get the Holy Spirit in this world, but there's also a trial by fire coming that, Kev, you can't do it on your own. You need that Holy Spirit on you to try you.
Again, 1 Corinthians, isn't it 3:11? That your works are going to be tried.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll be tried with fire.
Yep, yeah.
See what kind of works
that's
they are.
Right. That's the Holy Spirit burning everything up. And like we've said before, for some it's bad,
mm-hmm.
for some it's good. You're going to be purified even purer than gold of Ophir.
Mm-hmm.
That's a resurrection. That's a cleansing, a refining fire. When Malachi says when Jesus Christ, he's a refiner's fire. He's refining you. So that's Malachi, I think, 3. But look at 4, 1 Peter 4. Oh boy.
3-4 or 4-3?
Four. Let's, what do I got there? 12. I got 12 there, about.
Okay.
Look at 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was gospel preached unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Once again, he's pointing to the end. Therefore, you, us, Tom, and my, right, be sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one for another without grudging. Every man had received the gift. What is the gift that's been promised us? If Christ went? The Holy Ghost.
The Comforter.
Right? Even minister the same one to another as good stewards of manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God. That's not a bad idea.
Amen.
If any man minister, let him do as it is the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion for 1,000 years.
No.
Forever. Yeah. Second comment, it's forever.
Actually, ever and ever.
Ever and ever. That's long. That's,
yeah, verily, verily.
That's eternity.
You know, it's, yeah, right. Truthfully, truly, ever, ever.
Yeah. Beloved, think in that strength concerning the fiery trial which shall try you, as some strange thing had happened to you.
Okay, see, my Bible reads different. All right.
And, I might have said it different.
Okay, is to try you, not shall try you.
Yeah.
Beloved,
yeah.
Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you.
It's going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
And there's, again, in most scriptures, there's a dual meaning to this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, because Peter was talking about the Romans coming in and lighting Christians on fire.
Yeah.
Right? There's a, I mean, what was that? Caesar said, if you want to be the light of the world, I'll make you lights of the world, wrap them up in cloth and oil and burn them on the way into Rome.
Right.
So,
Yeah, so I mean, sure, but everybody, all saints don't get burned.
No.
Right? So there is something deeper than that, a deeper meaning to it. I agree with you. I mean, they've torched a lot, but there's also a fire that's going to cleanse and try every saint, everyone.
Well, not only the saints, but it's also going to try the unbeliever.
That's right.
You know, because when that fire comes,
that's right,
it's going to make a dividing.
That's right.
You know,
we shall be able to stand.
Amen.
Well, if you're going to get burned up, you're not going to be able to stand.
So training on how to stand is, again, God's doing something here. Training on how to be able to stand in those days is utmost important.
Absolutely.
In this hour day. Because if we don't get ready now, when the trial comes, when the fire comes, a lot of us won't make
it. That's right.
Because we won't be.
That's
right. We won't be able. We won't even know that the
you're not watching. You're not sober. You're being led around by every doctrine of man, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the scriptures themselves.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's the virgins waiting for Christ, right?
Yes.
You know, people who are ready to endure.
Right.
Have the oil, whereas people who walked up to a point won't be prepared.
That's right.
They won't stand.
They won't stand.
That's right. They won't.
Where is it in the Revelation? This is the patience of the saints.
Yeah, 14.
14.
At the second coming. Not only that, right before that says, blessed are they that die in the Lord henceforth. We're going to get into that. Okay, so you can see that there. You can keep reading down here, but look at verse 13 there. But rejoice in so much as partakers of Christ's suffering.
Mm-hmm.
We are partakers in his suffering when his glory shall be revealed, that you may be glad also with exceeding joy. So once again, he's pointing this fiery trial to the second coming when his glory appears. That has not happened yet. Look at 17.
Well, for 14 before you go there, because of what you said.
If ye reproach for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified.
Right. And
right?
Again, in John 15, Jesus says that you're going to be persecuted because they persecuted me.
Matthew 24, which is not for us.
Yeah.
says there, people are going to be persecuted for his name's sake.
Yeah.
I'm just told that's me.
Yeah.
So how can Matthew 24 not be for me? Okay, look at 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin in the house of God. Mm. And if it first begin at us, then what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So everything to me is, points to the second coming here. Everything we're reading here.
Right.
And 18, even
19. All right,
go
you
ahead.
Can't, you can't
I already
stop
flipped
there.
My book.
If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner be?
Yeah.
All right. If those who are righteous are barely getting saved.
Yeah.
You're not coming in with trumpets and sound. You're
That's
barely,
right.
You're getting in by the skin of your teeth.
That's
if
right.
You're righteous.
Yep.
You're barely getting saved.
Yeah.
How about those who aren't saved at all?
Yeah.
How do you know whether you're saved or not? How do you test that?
Yeah.
How do you examine yourself? I'm sorry.
No, it's the fruits. It's the fruits of the Spirit.
It's the fruit of the Spirit. And
does your life
line
up?
Amen.
Right? Go ahead.
There are evidences in a Christian's walk, whether he is in the light or in darkness.
That's right.
You can think that you're in the light and actually be in darkness.
That's right.
You can really think that you're born again and you're doing everything right. And you'd be lost as a goose.
That's right. Go ahead, dear.
Geese ever get lost.
So maybe it has to do with arrogance. Like, there's Christians that, like, I'm good. I'm this. And there's the rest are like, well, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Maybe I really have to be in the Word. I have to, you know, it's not a striving, but there is a sense where
there's a finishing.
There's a finishing.
Yeah. There's an enduring.
Yes.
Yeah.
That
right.
You know how close you are to not making it.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Because we have verses that tell you, if you don't do this, if you turn from me, I'll turn from you.
Right.
So we take those verses literally, and I think, like Gayla said, there's an arrogance that comes along with once prayed, always saved. I'm good.
You know, what was said right there, when I went to, I was at another, Tommy's old church, I went just caught up with a buddy of mine and some guys, and, you know, Tommy, that's what it is. You know what's missing? Endurance. What's preached?
Yep.
It's not the full. You know, order of God.
It's easy believism. It's easy believism.
Well, it's because they take the word "if."
That's right.
Out of the equation.
Yep.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. They ignore that.
You remove those two little letters, and all of a sudden.
Here's what they do, Alan. They've because they're all being taught dispensationalists. They take the verse that says, "You're sealed by the Holy Spirit till the day of redemption," and they take that and say, "See, I'm in." But they ignore the tons of verses that say, "If depart from me, I'll depart from you. If you keep my sayings, then you are my death."
Yeah.
They ignore all the if ye's. Right.
Well, there is no
even in John 3:16, is it should or shall?
That's right.
Yeah.
Most transliterations of the Bible say shall.
Right.
You shall be saved. You shall. No, Jesus said you should be saved.
That's right.
So there's a chance you ain't.
That's right.
You should be.
That's
but
right.
You didn't follow me.
Well, how could there be a falling away?
Right.
The Bible teaches an apostasy in the last days. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1 Timothy 4, two witnesses that says there's going to be an apostasy, a departing from the faith in the last days. If you were once prayed, always saved, how could there be an apostasy?
Right, absolutely.
It's impossible.
I was told by a doctor, biblical doctor, that catching away, it's being raptured.
Yeah,
that
it's a taking away. Yeah.
That falling away is you're being raptured.
Yeah.
Now,
that's why I say
you're falling away.
How could they violate Scripture?
Yeah.
I mean,
but Kev, it's not. Have they no fear?
Thank you.
Have they no fear that you're going to stand before God? You just twisted and wrested the Scriptures to fit your preconceived ideas.
Yeah.
But it isn't new.
You're going to be equal with God.
Right.
Why do you need fear?
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Oh, Jesus is my friend. Oh, he's a good father. He only does good things.
He gets all of us.
But it isn't new. I mean, even the Pharisees wouldn't answer for fear that the crowd would walk away from them.
That's right.
Well, I'm afraid we can't fill the church, so let's say it this week.
Yeah.
Yesterday, a lady sat next to me at this meeting about the quote equal rights amendment, but she said, I keep talking to my pastor, is that he would tell us some of these things that are going on in the world, so we're aware, and so we know when there's like laws going on or the government's doing.
Yeah, I remember saying
and
that.
She said, and he won't say anything because there's many people in our church that believe different things, and I don't want to offend
them. That's his
fault. I don't want to offend them.
That's his fault.
She said he uses the Bible most of the time.
We're talking a big church.
It's Koinonia in East Rochester.
You know why he's not ever going to say anything about what we see going on in this world? Because he thinks we're going to be gone. He doesn't.
He doesn't want to lose people either.
Yeah.
Because,
keeping to themselves, teachers
having
nothing ears. That's what it is.
Yeah.
The church is desiring pastors that don't fear God, that fear the deaconship more than they fear God.
Right.
Amen.
Okay,
so
back to trumpets.
Yeah.
To Leviticus 25:1.
Amen.
The Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I have given to you, then ye shall keep the Sabbath unto the Lord. When you come into the land, you'll keep the Sabbath.
Right.
6 years thou shalt sow the field, 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard and gather the fruit thereof. And in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which thou sowest, it is of its own accord, of thy harvest thou shalt not reap. Neither gather the grapes of the vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. Why did I do this? Look at 8. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of the years unto thee 7 times 7 years in the space. Oh, this is Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
And 7 Sabbaths of the years shall be unto thee 49 years. Oh, this is what I wanted. And thou shalt cause the trumpet. This is what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have a trumpet being blown. See that there, 9?
And
thou shalt cause at that time. At the harvest time,
seven,
right?
Seven.
That's right. So, the 50th, so the fifth, after 49, 50, thou shalt cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound in the 10th day of the 7th month. So remember, the Feast of Trumpets started when? The first day of the 7th month.
Yes.
So now you have another trumpet being blown on the 10th day of the 7th month. Think of this. Revelation 2, how many days are we being persecuted and martyred?
10.
See, I believe, so this is where I'm going with this. I believe between the 6th trumpet and the 7th trumpet, you have 10 days.
Yeah.
I believe, because we'll see that. So the 7th, so the 10th day is the trumpet of Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
And all the land, all the inhabitants thereof, it shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man to his family. So you can see there's a jubilee year coming that is that takes all, it's the timing with the feasts, and it's a blowing of trumpets. We saw that with the Feast of Trumpets. It says, doesn't say a blowing of trumpet, of trumpets. So there's a one being blown on the 1st and one being blown on the 10th, which is the Jubilee, which gathers all these feasts together. Numbers 10, we don't have to turn there because I really want to get to this. No, let's turn there. Numbers 10. Okay, so 10:1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee 2 trumpets, 2, of silver, of a whole piece. So it's 1 piece of silver, but he's making 2 trumpets out of it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, isn't he saying the trumpet itself shall be 1 piece of silver?
Well, he says, make 2 trumpets of silver, of a whole piece.
Right.
So I think he's taking 1 whole piece of silver and making 2 trumpets out of it.
Okay.
Right?
But it won't be like a regular trumpet or a cornet that we
right. Oh yeah, right.
It has
57 yeah.
pieces.
Yeah, right.
It'll be one.
Oh yeah, like a horn.
A horn.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. And thou shalt make them. Thou shalt use them for. So listen, for the calling of the assembly,
mm-hmm.
right, and for the journeying of the camps. And when they blow them, all shall assemble, all assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of congregation. Is that right? So you get it? You see what's going on here? There's a trumpet blown, and we're going to be gathered at the tabernacle, right? But if they blow but one trumpet, then the princes, which are the heads of thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. But listen. But when they blow an alarm, this is not a trumpet. There's an alarm being blown with these trumpets. When they blow an alarm, the camps that lie in the east shall go forward. And when they blow alarm the second time, the camp shall lie on the south side and journey, and they shall blow an alarm for their journey. So remember that word alarm.
And you're saying that those are not the trumpets?
The alarm goes along. He's saying, I got these two trumpets, one for the gathering, one is for the assembling.
Mm-hmm.
Right, go back.
But it is a trumpet that they're not like got a.
There's an alarm that goes with it. Right. Oh yeah, right. Yeah. There's. I don't know how this works. I don't understand it. But there's an alarm that goes with these two trumpets.
Isn't it? Ezekiel talks about blowing the trumpets, and you got to be careful how you blow the
yeah.
trumpets, because if you blow the trumpet
yes.
incorrectly, the people won't understand.
Yeah. So once again, if you look at 10, it says one is for the calling of the assembly. For the assembly, a calling of the assembly, and the other is for the journeying of the camps.
Right.
He doesn't say anything about alarm. He says, right. but when you blow these two, if there's an alarm sounded with them,
yeah.
like you said, a certain
sound.
Oh my goodness.
Thank you.
It just hit a certain, make a certain sound.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Read 5. It says, when you blow an alarm.
Yeah.
When you
yeah.
blow it,
so,
yep.
okay. So, yeah. When you blow an alarm, the camps on the east shall go forward. And when you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey and shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is gathered together, ye shall not blow, ye shall not sound the alarm. And the sons of Aaron and the priests shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be unto you an ordinance forever for your generations. So here you go. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, is there a war coming at the end of the world?
Yeah.
Right? Then you shall blow the alarm with the trumpets. There it is. So you're right. You have trumpets being blown. Now you have an alarm. Why? There's going to be an assembly, a gathering together, and going out to war. Am I any farther with that?
We'll finish that up.
And you shall remember before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies.
You shall be remembered.
You shall be remembered
yeah.
before the Lord your God.
Right. So God's going to remember you.
Yeah.
He remembered Noah
no.
when he was in the ark. He remembered Abraham.
This is great. This is great.
Yeah.
What is Noah a picture of? Right? God's wrath on an ungodly world, and he saved the saints.
Right.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
So you get the picture here? Mm-hmm. Now, the reason I do this is because I believe that the trumpets, when they start to blow in Revelation 8, I believe that starts 3.5 years. I believe that starts it. Because if you can see it, the two witnesses are calling down
mm-hmm.
fire. Well, that's what's happening in Revelation 8 with the four
trumpets.
You think
they're announced? They're actually.
I do, Kev. I mean, if I'm going to hear the last one, why would I not hear the other six? Maybe it's just something with us that we hear it, or maybe it's different than what we think. You know what I mean? Something happens, a noise happens, and we go, that's him.
Right.
You know?
Well, and again, you know, you see on the internet, all these people are saying they hear horns being.
Yeah.
Or nature's blowing horns. Well,
we'll know.
We'll know. when God speaks, when God does anything, the people of God know
right.
that it's God.
Yeah.
So when these horns do sound, when these trumpets do sound, maybe everybody will hear it, but only those who know what they're listening for. Back to Ezekiel.
Yeah.
When you blow the trumpet, you got to blow it the correct way. that it makes the right sound, the right alarm.
Well, think of when this happened before with Paul. It happened with somebody else too when God spoke.
Mm-hmm. It sounded.
And only Paul heard it.
Yeah, right. The other people heard a noise.
Yeah, yes. The other people heard a noise. I think that...
Well, my sheep know my voice.
That's right.
Say that exact same verse. Yeah.
Right, so I mean...
Well, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's good.
Can we rewind that?
Plus, what I think is going on here, if you really study the trumpet, whose voice is like a trumpet?
God. Yeah.
Okay, so Revelation 9. I'll show you where we're going with this. Revelation 9, you have the fifth trumpet. So I really do think, you know, this idea that we can't know the day or the hour. I don't know the day or the hour. Even during that time, I won't know the day, but I will know the times and the seasons.
Yeah.
I will know how much closer we're getting to this event.
I think when Moses and Elijah show up, the two witnesses.
That's right.
I think it's 1,260 days, thereabouts.
Yeah.
We're going to know.
We're within 3.5 years of this thing. And not only that, Kev, they got to build a temple 2,300 days before it. The end of the world. So even when that temple goes up and they start sacrificing, I'm going, we're there. We're within 6-7 years of this thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Revelation 9, I just want to show you some numbers here. Think of this. So this is the fifth trumpet, which I believe. Yeah, let me do this. I got another chart for you guys. Yeah, I'm a chart guy now. See this one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how do I want to do this? We'll read first, Revelation 9, 1 through 5. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and was given unto him a key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose smoke out of the pit, and smoke of a great furnace, and the sun, as the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts, go read Joel chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
upon the earth, and unto them that was given power, as scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And it was given unto them that they should not kill them, but that they shall be tormented 5 months. 5 months they're being tormented, and their torment was a torment of a scorpion as he striketh a man. Look at verse 10.
Yeah.
They had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was given to hurt men 5 months.
Do you think it's just mentioning that twice?
I do.
Yeah, okay.
So think of this. How long was the ark?
On the water?
150 days.
150 days.
How many is 150 days?
Yeah.
Five months.
Of 30 days
apiece. Right? So that, Bible prophecy is 30 days, not 31, not 29, 30 days. So the ark was, and then it's interesting language. It says that the waters were abated.
Right.
The word abated means defeated.
Mm-hmm.
So who are the waters in Revelation, Kev? The people.
Yeah.
Mystery Babylon. Right? They were abated. So think of that. There's going to be because these aren't for us. Those are, Amanda, those are not for us. They're not going after you and me. They're going after them. We're being protected from these creatures,
mm-hmm.
from these beasts,
yeah.
from these devils.
Well, right.
They're going after them. Why? Because you've got the mark of God in your
right.
forehead.
They're told not to touch those who have the mark of
That's
God.
That's right. So here you go. Here's your three. Here's your reign of Christ. Here's the trumpets being blown, right? We saw that, two trumpets. So now, Revelation 9, I think we're within 5.5 months. When the fifth trumpet sounds, I think we're within 5.5 months of the second coming of Christ.
Okay, so the reign of Christ is not the 1,000 years?
Reign of Antichrist.
Oh, I didn't see anti. I'm sorry, I just saw Christ.
Yeah, reign of, we said.
Yes.
And that's why I say, this last age goes right into there, because, you know, we got other stuff we got to look at.
Yeah.
So can you see where I'm going with this? Does it make some sense? You don't have to agree with it, but does it make some sense where I'm going with this? I believe that we will be within 5.5 months when that fifth trumpet sounds.
Yeah.
Okay, Revelation 11.
I've got a question. Where does it say that the saints are the ones that have the seal on their forehead?
Revelation 14. I think it's Revelation 14.
Because just before what you read in 7, they're talking of the 144,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're
7.
Sealed in their forehead.
Yeah, 7 and 14. Are at 144,000, and I think 14 talks about they have a safe.
Yeah.
Who yeah, it has their father's name, verse 1, their father's name written in their forehead.
And 14:1?
Yeah, 14:1. Okay, so, yeah, like I say, not only that, to me, that fifth trumpet, that's the first woe. There's three woes left. That's the first woe. So now, this is a woe where these, I believe it. We studied this a couple weeks ago, the reign of Antichrist, the mingled kingdom. They're going to mingle themselves. Who's going to mingle themselves with the seed of man? They are. The devils are going to come up out of the pit, and they are going to mingle themselves. They're going to be part of humanity, and they're going to be on this earth. We saw it last week. The fourth kingdom, the fourth beast, mm-hmm. It's not just the Antichrist.
Right.
It's his kingdom. It's, right? That's Daniel 7. Okay, so
real quick to help you with what you're looking at in verse 4, because you're asking where does it say those who are
sealed,
of verse 9, and it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither the green thing, neither any tree, but those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead.
Right.
All right, so anybody who's not sealed with God, the
that's
inside
right.
of that coin is the ones who are sealed in
yeah.
the forehead
yeah.
will not be hurt.
That's just my,
yeah.
I guess, my teaching, because I always said we have God's seal on our heart.
Right.
It doesn't mention our forehead.
Right.
And the only place that I saw that it mentions the forehead
was
is 144,000.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Gail.
Also the 10 plagues. Wasn't
yeah.
it after the fifth plague that it was separated between...
Yeah.
The Israelites.
Yeah.
And
yes.
The Egyptians. So
that's right.
We have five.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like five seals here or whatever.
Yeah.
We're separating now.
So think of that too. So when the firstborn died, that's not God's. That's not a typology of God's wrath.
Right.
That's a typology of people, because the typology of God's wrath is in the Red Sea.
Yes.
The Red Sea. Right? When they're all dead. Even Pharaoh himself in Revelation 15 says, we sing the song of Moses. Go
right.
read the song of Moses. It's not talking about Pharaoh.
Right.
He's talking about the devil.
Yeah.
Okay, Revelation, we're still 9. I just want to see something here. So Revelation 9:13, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the altar, which are before God. Did I read that right? The golden altar, which are before God, saying the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates.
Mm-hmm.
So Euphrates, there's four angels in the Euphrates that are going to be loose. And that's the sixth trumpet, right? Look at 18. But these were a third of the men killed by fire and by smoke and by brimstone, which issued out of their mouth. So there's these demonic horde coming out of the pit. This is not the same group, 9-1.
Right, right.
This is a different group, comes out of Euphrates.
Breastplate of fire.
It's right. It's right. Yes. And not only that, when you read in Revelation 16, they come out of the Euphrates, so the kings of the east are coming to Armageddon.
Yeah.
Well, when's Armageddon? It's at the end of the world, right? Okay. Revelation 11. So I'm told we're going to see Jerusalem surrounded by her enemies.
Right.
We know all this.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do this for the sake of time.
Don't worry about the sake of time. There's next
okay.
week.
All right. So Revelation 11. There was given unto me a rod, like unto a reed, like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court that is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall be tread underfoot 42 months. There's a clear number.
Clear time.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was given unto, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and two candlesticks standing before the God of the whole earth. Another time prophecy. I mean, God's given us these not so, nobody can know, right?
Right, that's right.
We can know.
He's given us a particular
That's right. Case. He's said twice, yeah, within right. two verses, he's given
us. Two different
us.
Ways. 42
yeah.
months
that's right.
and the 1,200 days,
yeah.
three score days.
Yep.
Both of those are 3.5 years.
That's right. And they're always, what the this man say, they try to divide these things up into mm-hmm. the first part and the second part. No, these are always, this is
right.
great tribulation that's coming. And God's teaching us what it is. And if any man will hurt them, this is what I was talking about. I believe that when these two are doing this, this is the trumpets being blown.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's what Satan's casting.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And what do they do, Kev? They're matching it.
Yes.
Right? The devils are matching what these two witnesses are doing. The fire proceedeth out of their mouth, devoureth their enemies. If any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not. How many days was Elijah and right Kings 42
yeah.
months, 3.5 years?
Three
there was a drought in the land, right?
Prophets,
it's right.
Prophets,
yeah,
3.5 years.
That's not a coincidence.
No, that's absolutely not a coincidence.
I gotta say this. Was Elijah protected those 3.5 years?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to see some things. I'm not calling for a pre-trib rapture. But I'm starting to see some things. We might be put aside here.
Yeah.
The woman goes into the wilderness.
That's right. For 3.5 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you look at them. Did Moses die in the flood? He was protected.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just put that in the back of your head.
Moses
all right.
didn't have a flood real quick.
What
Noah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wrong guy. Right thought, wrong guy.
Yeah.
The Red Sea.
I probably had Noah parting the Red Sea. Luckily, you guys know your Bible. Okay, so you can see the two witnesses here. Look at 11 and 12. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit, well, first of all, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit kills them.
Right.
And then they rejoice
for
when
peace.
They say peace and safety.
Mm-hmm.
Then what? Sudden destruction upon them.
Yeah.
So think of what's happening here. They're rejoicing over the killing of the two witnesses.
Because they were tormented.
That's right. They were calling down fire. They were causing droughts.
Yeah.
Right? They were doing the same thing. I better get this right. Moses and Elijah were doing in their
yeah.
prophecies.
Right.
The same thing. You know why? Because it's Moses and Elijah. Okay, so after verse 11.
Is the beast going in and out of the bottomless pit?
No, he comes. No, as a matter of fact, Revelation 9:1.
Testimonies, then the beast comes out of the bottomless pit.
Well, yeah,
no, but he had already, ascended out of the bottomless pit.
No, that's not what this says. Verse 7, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the—I read it wrong. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
That's past tense.
About his pit, which shall take and make war against them.
Yeah,
and shall overcome them.
The bigger picture is Revelation 12.
Yeah,
yes.
Revelation 12 ties in this big time.
Yeah, once again, Alan, when you go back and read Revelation 9:1, the star, the devil, falls out of heaven and he opens the bottomless pit. Well, he's releasing something out of the bottomless pit. Well, the Antichrist
right.
comes out of the bottomless pit.
Right.
Right? Okay, so after 3 days...
What chapter did you just mention?
That's 9:1. Compare this with 9:1. Or 9:1-5. It's in your notes. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. See, this is why I believe everybody is gathered at Israel this day. Everyone. The saints and the sinner. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up hither. And they ascended up into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. So hang on here. Let's just pause here. Is this not the resurrection? Is this not 1 Thessalonians 4, Matthew 24? You have people being resurrected. They're dead. They are now standing on their feet. Then they're being caught up in a cloud, right? Is this not the second coming of Jesus Christ? But we got a problem here. This is the sixth trumpet.
Right.
This is interesting. I'm going to show you something that I caught that's very interesting.
Which is just the second woe.
It's right? So, okay, let's continue. And I heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. The same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake, men were slain, 7,000, and the remnant. Notice these aren't the enemies now. This is the remnant. A remnant of who? I believe these are Jews that went back to the temple and wanted to honor God through that. This is an opinion. I believe that those people that were sacrificing in the temple and the head was taken away, I believe these guys want to honor God. And I believe this is the remnant of Jews, one third of the Jews that are going to be saved in the last days, in the last day. Okay, so the remnant were afraid, and they gave glory to the God of heaven. So now they're worshiping him. Look at verse 14. The second woe is past. The third cometh quickly. How's he coming? Quickly, right? So here's the point. The resurrection is simultaneous with the seventh trumpet. It's not after it. It is with it. And I'll show you what I mean by that.
Well, with the trump of God, right? We'll be.
It's right. With the trump of God. Well, look at Revelation 10:7. So this is why I say this is still, there's only, because why? Because the Bible teaches only one resurrection.
Yeah.
So this has to be right at the blowing of the seventh trumpet. Why? Well, first of all, it says the second woe is past. The third woe cometh quickly. And then verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded. So look at Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin, not after, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he had declared unto his servants, the prophets. So here's what I'm saying. That resurrection, that rapture that we call the resurrection, it's not after the trumpet, it is with the trumpet. Mm-hmm. It's with the blowing of the seventh trumpet. And now this makes sense because you have them standing on their feet. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You see it here? No, I don't have it here. And let me get this back up. Revelation 2. We talked about this. Why does he say this? I've heard people try to spin this. Revelation 2. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Kev, I'm told not to fear it. I'm told.
Revelation
2. 2:10. It's here on the screen. If you want to turn there, it's 2:10. I'm commanded by my Savior not to fear what's coming.
That's a good thing.
Right?
Commanded.
The devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation. Why does he say that? 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. I'm told when we die, we get a crown of life. What's that crown of life? Resurrected body. Everlasting life. And it seems to take the same time as 10 days. Well, we just saw the blowing of the trumpets in the year of Jubilee is a 10-day period, right? Does this make sense?
Definitely interesting when you look at the feast and the because we know the feast, all the things are in the Old Testament are a picture of things
that's
to
right.
come.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And so those 10 days during the Jubilee trumpet soundings, and we've often wondered what is the 10 days that is talked about right here. They could be synonymous with one another.
Right.
You know, I've heard crazier things.
Yeah, well, I mean, to me, the scriptures seem to match that the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet
are
quickly.
Yes.
The second one was passed.
Mm-hmm.
The third woe cometh quickly, and
right.
you have the sixth and the seventh trumpet within 10 days of each other.
Right.
So here's what I think's going on. Right.
Wait, so the 10 days, are you saying that's like Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur?
Yeah. So once again, here it is. I don't know if you can see it. We already saw there could be a 5-month period, but from the fifth trumpet. From the sixth to the seventh trumpet, you have a 10-day period. Right? And there's a resurrection right at the beginning of the seventh trumpet, when he shall begin to sound, not after it. So that's the day of the Lord. It's clearly the day of the Lord and eternity starting. So Curtis brought it up before about dying. Revelation 14, 13 to 16. This is the second coming. He's coming in the clouds. If you want to turn there, go ahead. But he's coming in the clouds. This matches Revelation 11 with the two witnesses, right? 1 Thessalonians, he's coming in the clouds. Matthew 24, he's coming in the clouds. Revelation 14, 13 to 16, and I heard a voice from heaven. I heard a voice from heaven. What do we just see in Revelation 11? I heard a voice from heaven saying, come up hither, right? Blessed is he who is part in the first resurrection.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from now on.
Right.
Hereafter means a future time.
Mm-hmm.
Henceforth means from now on. Yea, that the spirit that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Their works, how did that come up today?
Yeah.
Their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, there it is, the white cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And upon the cloud, one like unto the Son of Man. You know why he's like unto the Son of Man?
Because
he's the Son of Man. Having on his head a golden crown. Revelation 19. He's got a golden crown on his head. And he's coming to make war. And in his hand, a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come to reap, and the harvest of the earth is ripe.
Mm-hmm.
You're the harvest. You're the fruit that has come to fulfillment. And when is this? This is clearly the second coming at the end of the world.
Oh, this is Revelation chapter 4.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we're not
right.
talking about anywhere from 4 yeah. to 14.
And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Who is this one that is coming out of the temple saying reap? He said, this is an angel.
Right.
Right? God is going to send his angels to reap the harvest, and they are going to reap us and bring us into his kingdom.
The parable of, the fishes,
right.
the sheep, and the goat.
Yeah.
He sends his angels to reap.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Hebrews, we're surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses
yep.
on that day. So clouds, all of it.
It's right. We're the clouds.
Yeah, we are.
We're the clouds.
We are his
You're going to be clothed in white raiment.
Yeah.
Revelation 10, 5 through 7, we read some of this. An angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth. This is Jesus Christ. He's taken
yeah.
dominion.
Mm-hmm. And he has a little book in his hand.
That's right. And he swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth, the things that are therein, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be
time
no longer. It's over. This world is over at the second coming. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. The mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared unto his servants, the prophets. You know, you can trust your Bible.
Amen.
You know, you can't trust Clarence Larkin or C.I. Schofield. You can trust your Bible. So here you go. There it is. It's a day. We're not going to get to the trumpet today. We'll do that next week. So it's to me, the trumpet is synonymous with the sun and the moon being darkened, the coming into clouds. If you want to look at type, go read Exodus 19.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
If you want to see a type of this, Exodus 19. But you could see the day of the Lord and the trumpets of the Lord, Psalm 47, Psalm 98, Isaiah 18. These are great, great chapters. Isaiah 27. Isaiah 58, Zephaniah 1, Zechariah 9, 9 through 17. These are all the same event. And he's saying it's one, and Zechariah says one day.
One day.
Yeah, I'll say this. I don't think, like this here, you have trumpets being blown. We're going to look at trumpets next week, but I want to get back to this for a second. I don't even think this is 1 hour. Right? How long does it take for the sun, moon, and the stars to be covered, God to cover the earth with darkness? How long does it take for a trumpet to blow? So
how long does the eclipse take?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Exactly. So I like these events here. these events here, like this one right here. We have a 1-24-hour day of all the feasts being fulfilled, but this stuff literally could be minutes. You know, and I think a lot of people say, well, how could all that happen on one day? Why can't it takes? How long does it take for the sun, moon, and the stars to get dark? How long does it take for a trumpet to blow? How long does it take for Jesus Christ to appear?
And they fall to the earth.
Right? How long does that take? As a matter of fact, this could be done in like 6 minutes. The whole thing could be done. But, you know, he spreads it out over the day because that's how he does things. Does it make sense? I don't say you have to agree with it. I'm just saying I'm throwing some things out there that I've never heard. I haven't been taught. They always take the easy way out. You know, we're sitting here singing. What are we singing today? Amazing Grace. We're sitting here singing, and poof, we're all gone. And the whole world is going to go through God's 7 years of wrath, right? While we're up there and watching people being slaughtered, he's handing us crowns. All right.
Well, isn't the sun, moon, and stars, aren't those the timekeepers?
Right.
Now there's no more time.
Yeah. That's what I say. The problem is they, first of all, we just saw going through Revelation, it's not chronological. It is, but it's not. You keep going back and forth with Revelation.
Yeah. But there's not all,
right.
You know, segments of time.
And we just saw how Revelation 11, Revelation 14, and Revelation 9 go together. Right? So yeah, it is chronological, but what he does with the book of Revelation is he focuses, he pulls back at a big view, and then he focuses on a situation. Right? Like Revelation 13.
Yeah.
It's about the Antichrist. All right. Any comments? Good questions or comments, or you want to tell me you're nuts? Father God, we thank you. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for meeting us here, Lord. I thank you for being kind to us. I thank you for revealing the mysteries to the foolish of this world. Lord, what you have gathered here are just the people that believe every word in here, that there are no errors in it, there's no mistakes, and it is for us to understand your mysteries. You have given us this book to understand you, to understand your mysteries, to understand how we should live. And I thank you for the book, Lord, because this book to me is everything. It is my life, Lord. It is my salvation. It is a light into my path. And I know I speak for my brothers and sisters here. Our lives revolve around this book because Jesus is the book. And our lives revolve around him. Lord, we don't pretend to know everything, but we believe everything. And we ask you just have mercy on us. If something was taught here in error, Lord, I ask you to just don't hold it against my brothers and sisters, but show me in where the error is. And I just thank you for being kind to us. I pray for Curtis, Lord, that you would just fill him with the Holy Spirit and that you would just keep feeding your flock, Lord. We are a needy, hungry sheepfold that needs to be fed, needs to be guided, and needs to be poked and prodded sometimes. But I thank you. We have a good shepherd that looks over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.